www.wgtd.org. Attention all Facebook users, you're invited to click Like WGTD for breaking news, photos, station program information, links to archives, and to interact with WGTD employees and listeners. The page is available to non-Facebook subscribers as well.
Hi, I'm Bob Tenuta of the Gateway Radio Reading Service. We volunteers read the local newspapers to the visually impaired over the radio. Would you like to do the same and not having to move one toe out of your home? Call me at 564-3870.
Now to Brown, puts it up.
GatewaySportsWeb.org is now on your smartphone.
And we're tied at 40.
Hear local high school sports on your phone by going to the App Store and downloading the free WGTD app.
Hi, I'm Bob Tenuta of the Gateway Radio Reading Service. We volunteers read the local newspapers to the visually impaired over the radio. Would you like to do the same and not having to move one toe out of your home? Call me at 564-3870.
Attention all Facebook users, you're invited to click Like WGTD for breaking news, photos, station program information, links to archives, and to interact with WGTD employees and listeners. The page is available to non-Facebook subscribers as well. You're listening to WGTD HD, 91.1 Kenosha Racine, 101.7 in Elkhorn, and 103.3 in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin Public Radio and NPR. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Marlo Harmon, a lifelong Racine resident who's currently employed as an addiction counselor at Racine Correctional Institution. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our topic today is improving the health of the not-for-profit sector in southeastern Wisconsin and what the University of Wisconsin-Parkside is bringing to organizations and board members and executive directors and their staff here in Kenosha and Racine and Walworth to make our not-for-profit sector the very best it can be. My guests this morning are Deborah Karp, the Director of Community Engagement at University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and a participant in the amazing educational programs she's overseeing at UWP, Jason Meekma. He's the Executive Director of Focus on Community, Racine's Substance Abuse Prevention Agency. Good morning.
Good morning, Len.
Good morning.
Jason, I'd like to begin with you. You've taken courses in fund development and not-for-profit management from the UW-Parkside Community Engagement Sector. Why has that been important to you as Executive Director of Focus on Community in Racine?
Yeah, great question. You know, I'm relatively new to directing an agency of my own, which is kind of exciting while also quite nerve-wracking at the same time. I've been a nonprofit for a long time, but taking that step to actually being in management and having the weight of an organization rest on your shoulders is a little bit intimidating. So, you know, naturally, wanting to be good at what I'm doing, wanting to find a way to be the best at running that organization, I wanted to look for opportunities to strengthen my abilities, strengthen my skills. Finding this certificate series, essentially, was really beneficial. It happened early on. I found it early on in my beginning career as an executive director, and found tremendous benefit from it. It really helped me have a better understanding of not just how to conduct an organization, but how to conduct myself within the organization, how to structure the management within the organization, and how to position ourselves to be successfully both programmatically and financially, which is the difficult balance, I think, when you're talking nonprofit.
And that's the name of the game. I certainly wish there would have been something like this in Kenosha when I took my first executive director position in Kenosha at about your young age as the executive director of the United Way about 1,000 years ago, in actually the mid-1970s. And there was nothing like this at that time, and hardly anything in the country, let alone in southeastern Wisconsin. Deborah Karp, you have initiated this program at the Center for Community Engagement at the University, something that was probably started, gave it a big push by Jack Keating, was just recently passed away. Tell me about how this impacts the community from your perspective and why you brought this to the community, these programs. You have one a certificate in not-for-profit management, you have a certificate in fund development. How does this fit in to the educational mission and to the community, Bedebra?
Well, of course, we do professional, non-credit, continuing education. And at the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, really for the last 10, 15 years, we've had a very close relationship with the nonprofit sector. We work with a lot of nonprofit organizations in terms of our community-based learning courses. Back around 2007, the campus got a Compassion Capital Demonstration Fund grant, which was all about building capacity in the regional nonprofit sector. And during that time, we were able to offer free training to nonprofit organizations. And we built relationships with many, many nonprofits. We were offering free training and some coaching, as well as funding for capacity building projects. And so we were able to then secure a second grant back in 2009. And so for 4 years, we had the wealth of riches, and we had all of this programming to help nonprofit leaders and nonprofit professionals develop their skills, and we were able to offer all of those programs for free.
As I recall, that was part of the economic recovery program,
yes,
of the federal administration after the great crash of modern days.
Yes, that was an ARRA. The second one, the Strengthening Communities Grant, was an ARRA program. And so what we found was that people were so hungry for this type of resource. And we worked with a lot of nonprofit leaders, and not only were they grateful for the information, the content, the skill building that they were able to do, but they were even more hungry to have these opportunities to interact with other nonprofit leaders. Being an executive director of a nonprofit organization is a fairly lonely position.
I can certainly attest to that. Sometimes you want to talk to someone besides yourself in the mirror, and being able to share the problems you have, especially when you find out that they're the same problems everyone else has, is very therapeutic,
right?
And you get solutions that way too.
Right, so a lot of the feedback we were getting was not only did they want to come because they wanted to learn and build their skills, but they also really appreciated the opportunity to engage, network with other nonprofit professionals. We saw a lot of partnerships develop out of these cohorts of people attending continuing education courses. So once the funding went away and we could no longer offer these programs for free, we really had to think about what can we do and what can we build on. And we had a lot of resources that we gained on the campus during the time that we had those grants. And so at that time, we began to develop our nonprofit. At the time, we called it our Nonprofit Leadership Certificate Program. And we were worried. We weren't sure that people in the nonprofit community, not that they wouldn't want to come, but that they couldn't afford to pay for it. But we did. We were able to secure some scholarship funding for the programs. And then on top of that, I think that people thought it was important enough that many of the nonprofits were able to budget into their budget to send their staff people and executive directors to attend these programs.
I think board members are beginning to understand now, because of the work that has been done at UW-Parkside, that we have extremely valuable resources in town, and that budgeting for that in the next fiscal year every year is really a great asset for the agency. It's really not an expense. It's an investment in improved performance, right?
Absolutely.
And so now we have these two certificate programs. We have one coming up that's going to start this month in September.
Correct.
And that's the Fund Development Certificate. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Yes. Well, the Fund Development Certificate, this is the second time we're offering the certificate series. We offered it, it started in January of 2015. And so we're relaunching it. And basically, both of them operate very similarly. There's a series of training programs about once a month, and the participants can choose to do as many of the courses as they want. But if they want to earn the certificate, they have to take a certain number of courses. And basically, it goes in a cohort kind of a model. It's an open cohort, so that most of the people doing it are continuing along together, taking most of the courses, so they do get to build those relationships. But we also market each of the classes separately. So for example, in the Fund Development Certificate, we do an advanced proposal writing course. And we found that that was very popular. There were lots of people who chose to do one more experience and more education on grant writing, so they could take that course as a one-off. But we had 21 people in the first cohort, and I believe about 18 of them finished this Fund Development Certificate, and Jason was one of them.
Jason was one of them.
That's right.
Jason, you survived this. Tell me, what's it like taking that course?
You know, it's
It's on successive Fridays, as I recall. One every month or so?
Yep. You know, when you first look at it, you think, oh, fund development, it seems like a really intimidating concept, especially if you're like me and that's not your strength coming into a position of leadership. So, you know, me personally walking into it, I was intimidated. I thought, what if I'm not going to be able to keep up? What if I'm not going to understand the concept? The great thing about this is the program isn't just one instructor teaching every week, kind of like what you think of a normal college course being. You come in and every month there's a new presenter or a new group of presenters that present some certain ideas in new ways, in more progressive ways that really kind of make it exciting and fun to learn the things. Or if you're already familiar with these concepts, they a lot of times give you a new perspective that you may not have considered, which that helped me really get a better understanding. And right out of the gates when we first started this, I really found it to be quite a comfortable environment, quite an easy to engage and interact environment. And I also realized once I met all those other directors that I wasn't alone in my my concern and my fear and my intimidation, especially with the fund development portion of it. So, you know, I definitely found a lot of relief and satisfaction once I started going through the program.
Well, this is an interesting point that you've made, and that is that there are different presenters for each module, people who have particular expertise on that topic that's being presented. And I think that helps people, regardless of your learning style, because I know in my history, sometimes you have to present the information to me three different ways before you hit something that really clicks with me. And so that is a very helpful feature. I hadn't really thought of it from that perspective, Deborah.
Absolutely. And of course, this is professional development. It's non-credit. It's adult learners. And our continuing education program is very sensitive to the idea of how an adult learner learns. And it's very important. Not only do we have different presenters who are subject matter experts in their particular area, we also try to make the courses as interactive as possible. So we include discussion, we include case studies, we try to have people do some exercises and be a very engaging kind of environment. Because we know, that it's much more important to be able to actually experience something, to learn it, than it is to just read about it. And so, or just hear a speaker. So these classes are very interactive, and as much as we possibly can, we encourage our instructors to really engage the participants so that they will, really learn something.
I might mention that one doesn't have to be a staff member of a not-for-profit agency to take these courses. People take these courses who want to get into the not-for-profit world as well and earn these certificates. It's also occasionally the case that a board member or a committee member who's very interested in an aspect of an agency and wants to become more effective and knowledgeable board member or volunteer, these courses can also be appropriate for that sort of a person too.
Absolutely. We've had several board members, in fact, complete the whole series. I think that the content is relevant regardless of your role in a nonprofit organization, and it really depends on what you want to get out of it. Clearly, someone who's in an executive director or a leadership role or aspiring to be in a leadership role in a nonprofit, it would be completely relevant. But then as a board member, there's a number of classes that we offer in the fund development series as well as in the basic nonprofit professional that are about the role of the board in a variety of different types of arenas. So the role of the board in strategic planning or the role of the board in governance or the role of the board in fund development. And, a nonprofit leader, a staff person, does not do his or her work on their own. I mean, the board is a really crucial partner. And I think that the more we can engage the board members in professional training, the better.
That's an important point. Jason, you can certainly speak to this, too. Not-for-profits are very much businesses. Some people say that you ought to run your nonprofit like a business. Well, nonprofits are actually more business-like in many respects than most commercial businesses.
Absolutely.
Because we use something called fund accounting, which means you can't shuffle money around anywhere you want in the organization, do whatever you please, and hide stuff. No, you've got to be all open and above board. It's about as transparent as you can get. And that actually is a difficult concept for people to understand sometimes when they come from the business world. What I'm trying to say is that in my career, I've worked with many top business people, but they don't necessarily understand the mechanics and the problems with respect to nonprofit business functions, because we operate on a somewhat different model. And Board members must understand that, because if you don't really understand what's different about not-for-profit businesses, you can't manage it well. And a board that isn't really expert at not-for-profit management can drive an agency into the ground if they're not careful. Now, I have to, in full disclosure, admit that I'm a faculty participant in both of these certificate programs, and I'm on Deborah Karp's advisory board, but I would still support you anyway. Deborah, tell us a little bit more about the mechanics of how one gets into this course, and you're going to have some, they're going to be Thursday, Friday courses in this coming session. You're going to make it even more intense, I think.
That's right.
And more experiential, too, which is probably the most important piece of it, as I understand it.
Right. The Fund Development Certificate Program begins on September 23rd. The classes are going to be, again, once a month through the month of April. But among the courses this time, we've organized two boot camps, which are, rather than it just being a one-day kind of six-hour session, they're 2 days in a row. And these programs, like one of them is Building the Culture of Philanthropy and the Secrets of Stewardship. And so those two sessions have been combined so that the students will have this one day where they get a certain type of training and preparation, skill building, and then the second day will be an opportunity for them to do some more greater application. In the other boot camp is called Telling Your Story and Making the Ask, and the second day of that boot camp, the first day the students will get a chance to really build their skills in developing a compelling ask for fund development. The second day, they will be asked to actually make that ask to real live donors.
So this gives a chance to role play, to experience the feelings and the emotions, and to say the words and get used to saying the words to someone who's almost a stranger to you.
Yeah, it gives them some real practical experience. And I think that, in terms of actually participating in the program, you can still register. We're still offering the early registration through the 9th of September, so the early registration price is still in effect.
What is that price?
It's $1,249 for the whole series to earn the certificate.
And that's 8-9 sessions?
It's actually, there are eight modules. You have to complete 6 of the 8, including two boot camps, in order to earn the certificate.
Well, that's quite a value, isn't it, Jason, for the price, considering other training that's available you'd have to travel to Milwaukee or Chicago for?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that was obviously something that we strongly considered when I went through it, and then I also had one of my staff members go through the fund development portion of it. And talking to my board and explaining to them what this was and really considering it within the agency, it did. The value just met the need and the what you're getting, the benefit from the program. So it really made sense. It was a worthwhile investment, and I would highly recommend it, because it really did make an incredible impact, not just on me, but the staff member who went through it as well. She almost completely reinvented her role at our organization after this program.
Wow. So. My guests this morning on Community Matters are Jason Meekma, he's the Executive Director of Focus on Community, and Deborah Karp, Director of Community Engagement for UW Parkside. And we're talking about the not-for-profit certificate course offerings that UW Parkside's continuing education offers, and some of the other courses that they offer there as well. Deborah, the Fund Development Program Certificate, you want to tell us what the modules are called? So people know what the topics are?
Okay, just to give you a feel, like for example, the one we do in September is going to be Foundations for Success in Fundraising, and that's going to be a big overview of the basics of understanding fundraising in a nonprofit organization. As I mentioned, we have the two boot camps, which I referred to a little earlier. Then we have one about developing a sizzling, executable fund development plan.
That's a good title, because your fund development plan has to be really sizzling and exciting, but it also has to be carefully thought out and phased step by step so that you can actually execute
it. Yes, absolutely.
And the training that is in that particular module, which I'm not associated with, is really, I think, quite good for that.
Well, and actually, we have all of the series this time. 7 of the 8 modules are face-to-face, and we're trying something new this year. Our Information is Power, which is about data collection and the use of data that a lot of fund development professionals have to gather, is going to be an online module this time. And so it's the December module, which we figured that was a good time of year for people not to have to leave their office or their home. And we're gonna try that out. We're gonna see how well people respond to that. I know some people are really comfortable with the idea of online learning. Others are less so, but it'll be a chance to dip their toes into it. And particularly at a time of year when you don't necessarily have a lot of time to run out of the office.
It's a great idea. And a lot of the research we do is online. And for those who aren't deep in the not-for-profit world, if you think in the commercial world of customer relations management software, that's kind of what we're talking about. How you use customer relations management software that's customized for not-for-profits, particularly not-for-profits who raise money from other individuals and corporations and foundations. It's customized to make that job easier so that you know who you're talking to and what you're supposed to do next, right? The certificate is a UW Parkside certificate, so it carries weight, doesn't it?
Sure, absolutely.
It's a university certificate, and it's good foundation for people who want to take the Certified Fundraising Executive course, because
yes.
Our content is key to those modules.
Yes, actually, our Certified Fundraising Executive, or CFRE, we actually submit the curriculum that we've developed for these courses, and CFRE has approved these courses. So people who are working toward keeping their CFRE up to date can use these courses as towards that end.
What are you going to be doing for the not-for-profit general management certificate? What is that going to be coming up for people to take now?
Okay, well, actually, we're doing something different with that. We've done four cohorts. We've had over 60 people complete the nonprofit leadership certificate. And so we thought it was time to do some review of our program and revision. And so a couple things, a big difference is it's going to be starting in February with a new launch. We've changed the name of it, the certificate. It's going to be called the Nonprofit Professional Certificate. Much of the content will be similar. However, we're actually going to be offering it in 9 separate modules, and they're going to happen twice a month, so that it's going to be a much more condensed format. Some of the critique that we've received from the participants was that they had wished that they could have done the certificate more quickly. They didn't like spreading it out over the course of an entire academic year. And so we're going to try this. We're going to see if that's something that's appealing. We're thinking perhaps there may be people who hadn't chosen to take it in the past because it was extended that long. And so we're offering it in a more condensed format. We're also changing the curriculum somewhat. We're offering 2 boot camps, the same as we have in the fund development certificate, with these sort of intensive kind of program opportunities where you get to go one day and then do some homework overnight and come back the next day and apply it. So we're pretty excited. We're going to be, in October, we'll be doing sort of an intro information session kind of thing that people can look for to get more information about what the actual specific content of the program will be.
So that's something we should watch for in the early fall.
Yeah, I'd say by the end of October-ish, yeah.
And when you complete the fund development certificate, you'd be finished in January.
The fund development certificate, it goes over the course of the full year. So I think the fund development certificate ends in April.
April.
Starts in September, ends in April.
And the professional management not-for-profit certificate will start in
February and end in probably the end of May.
Great. Now, these are all taught where on campus at Parkside?
Mostly we have taught them over in Talent Hall, but we sometimes offer them in the Student Center, depending upon the numbers of students that we have in the course.
Those are both easy locations to find and
absolutely
relatively right. Easy to park at, too.
Yes. Well, Talent Hall, it's
especially
easier.
Especially Talent.
Yeah.
If you do park at Talent, you can take a bus across the street.
That's true. That's true.
If you need to. Jason, while we have you here, Focus on Community has been of great interest to me and to our community, especially to the Racine community. Come on, give us a quick capsule of what's exciting going on with Focus on Community.
Yeah, no, definitely. We, we're in a period of growth right now, which is very exciting. But Focus is we're a substance abuse prevention agency, and I always need to clarify that a little bit because we focus specifically on the prevention side of substance abuse. We don't do recovery. We don't do counseling. We don't do any of that. We do prevention, which means we're working with kids. We're working with families, teaching them the skills and the tools, giving them the tools that they're going to need to hopefully make good decisions as they grow and start to choose their career paths as they're getting older and hopefully avoiding risky situations. It's not talked about as much as we'd like it to, but prevention really is the best cure to pretty much every issue we face in our world and in our society. If it never becomes a problem, you never have to solve it. So that's kind of our goal. So that's what we work on in our community and the entire county of Racine. We do our work there, and we actually have grown quite a bit in our role with Racine Unified. We're doing a lot more with their community schools initiative that they're developing there now. So we're heavily involved in that, which has been very exciting because we get to be more engaged directly in the school with the students. And the community school concept involves the families quite a bit, which we know, and most people know, that you can teach a kid anything you want to during the school day, but if they go home and they're hearing a completely different message, they're more than likely going to absorb what they hear at home over what they hear at school. So being able to work with the families and affect them is paramount to being successful in anything that we do. So.
Any special events coming up that are exciting?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you mentioned that. We actually have our 5K run walk coming up next weekend, next Saturday, and it's free. It's a completely free 5K. It's a legitimate 5K, which means it's timed. There's prizes for the top winners in each age group. Everything you would think at a normal 5K, but it's completely free. And the reason that is because we get that if we're going to want to include families, we need to make it possible for families to be included. And when you go to a 5K nowadays, it's $20, $25, $30 for one person to participate. If you've got a family with three kids, you're looking at a pretty heavy bill.
It's a major expense.
Yeah.
So how do you do this? You got to get the money from somewhere.
Yeah, you know, we found a lot of ways to cut costs. And the truth is, to put on a 5K without all the frills is not that expensive. So we cut out a lot of the things. There's no free t-shirt, which, you know,
how many people really need another free t-shirt?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what we said. You know, we have goodie bags, which are great, but it's all simple things, you know, nothing that we spend money on. And then people just volunteering their time because they care about the cause.
Terrific. Yeah. That's terrific.
And the date is September 10th?
September 12th.
12th.
I believe. Gosh, oh, now I can't remember. And you're going to. So it's a week from Saturday.
A week from today. You ought to be out there running. What time does it start?
It is in the evening. It's at 6 p.m. And we actually, at 5:30 p.m., tout the largest mascot race in the county of the Racine County. We have 15 mascots right now that are going to be there, all the way from Roscoe, from the Milwaukee Admirals, to our Scoop, the local mascot from Culver's. So.
It sounds like it's worth it just to see that.
It is. And you know what? It's family friendly again. So the kids get to race with the mascots, which is really kind of
exciting. If I wanted to do
this
after I got off the air at noon, what would I do?
Is it
too late already?
You're full of all the best questions, which is great. So yeah, you can still register at focusracine.org.
On Saturday, yep. And then show up later that afternoon.
Yep. You can do all that. And you can sign up that evening. If you show up that evening and want to do it, we're going to get you in there. It's gonna be great. So
that sounds like a lot of
fun. Where is it?
Good question as well. Yeah, it's down at Pershing Park, so right down by Festival Hall in Racine. It is actually, I mean, just up the road on Lakeshore Drive or Lake Avenue.
That's great. Great location, and the weather will probably be terrific.
Yeah, I know. You guys caught me off guard with this talk about the event. No, I'm like, oh, man, I forgot the details.
You just did the fundraising certificate.
I know. I should be. Got to be honest.
You're building your audience, right?
We're not raising many funds with that, so maybe that's why it wasn't on my head.
But you're connecting with the community, and you're networking your message to the community, which is your mission.
That's right. Exactly.
And I love special events that are that mission connected. That's really the name of the game. Isn't that right, Deborah?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, Ms. Carr. We've been talking about the not-for-profit sector, and in a general way. You know, a lot of people don't really quite realize how big the not-for-profit sector is in the United States and in the Wisconsin economy, and what it really encompasses. I wonder if we could just talk about that a little bit, about the importance of the not-for-profit sector and what it does and what it contributes to our society.
Well, you know, the nonprofit sector actually employs over 10% of our workforce. And, you know, I think of it as the nonprofit sector exists because we need we need the nonprofit sector. We have the business sector, we have a government sector, and then we need this other sector that can help pick up some of the kinds of things that businesses don't do because they're not necessarily profitable kinds of endeavors, and things that the government is not doesn't have the capacity to do. But the nonprofit sector, really, I mean, it's such a broad sector. I mean, I think that, like, when you really start thinking about how it encompasses social services, the arts, environment, health, education, you know, healthcare. I mean, all of those kinds of issues. And these organizations, even if there are government agencies that serve some of the same purposes, nonprofits can do it in a very different kind of way, and really, really engaging people, and they are of the community, for the community, and they provide a really special kind of a service. And I think that it's so important. In this region, we have a strong nonprofit sector. There are, we did some research at one time, and we got, you know, there's over, I think, 800, somewhere between 800 and 2,000 nonprofit organizations in the Racine and Kenosha area. And if you start thinking about that, that's really quite astounding. And there are just so many different ways that people can become a part of the community and part of really positive solutions that are offering really amazing cultural activities, social service support, support like Jason's agency, where they're providing prevention, education. And it's just a really critical piece of who we are, even as Americans. It's interesting. I recently got back from China, where they're starting to grow a nonprofit sector. They haven't had that. And, you know, they're really interested in learning about what we do here in the United States and how our nonprofit sector has evolved.
Some people, in fact, there is an organization that's called Independent Sector. Mm-hmm. They use that term, Independent Sector. And I'd like to think about that for a second, what that means. I don't know, what does that mean to you? To me, Jason, it means that we have a separate voice, a private voice. We talk about how important volunteerism is, and everyone's mm-hmm. exhorting us to be good volunteers, and I certainly am a part of that movement. Right. If anything defines my life, that would be it. But it's our organized not-for-profit sector that makes volunteering really effective, isn't it?
Yeah, no, you know, and I think there's so many aspects of that that really get overlooked, you know, and unfortunately, we hear the numbers and how many people are really involved in the nonprofit sector, but there's still this gap between people that are out there working normal 9-to-5 jobs and in the nonprofit sector, and people understanding that they're really so interrelated and intertwined. And I think it is. It's that volunteerism and that being involved piece of it, that there's still a limited number of people that are involved, and a lot of them aren't involved because they don't know how to get involved. And I think that's an important gap that needs to be bridged as we kind of move forward as a nonprofit. Profit sector, and then as the for-profit sector, hopefully being willing to become more engaged in helping bridge that gap as well.
And of course, people often forget our churches, our spiritual organizations are a part of the not-for-profit sector. They often have their own specialized fundraising programs keyed to their particular constituencies. Nonetheless, fundraising is fundraising, and especially in the West, it's really heavily rooted in the Judeo-Christian tradition. So, it makes sense for us to want to strengthen the independent or the non-for-profit sector because mm-hmm. it provides a balancing act and it fills gaps, doesn't it, Deborah? And sometimes fills gaps that we don't think are appropriate for the government to fill.
Right, absolutely. And particularly, it allows people to try out, maybe be more nimble, offer some maybe innovative kinds of solutions. Nonprofits are really in a unique position in that many of them are relatively small organizations. They're made up of community members. Their leadership comes from the community. Very often, the people who serve on the boards are somehow either directly involved with the type of service the organization provides, or they have family members who are served by the organization. So these are people who have a really deep understanding and passion, I should say. I mean, a real passion for the mission.
Yes.
And I think that there's a lot of innovation that can come from that. And I believe that it does. The nonprofit sector does serve a specific niche in our society that's really important.
And one of the characteristics, really a distinguishing characteristic of the American way of life, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think we get a lot of, like Jason said, I mean, it's opportunities for volunteerism, it's opportunities for service, it's an opportunity to make a difference in our communities. You know, I think that a strong nonprofit sector offers so much. I mean, and really, even like when you start to think about the nonprofit sector that provides a service to our university, when you think about the numbers of our students who within their courses or as volunteers or serve as interns, they're getting some real life experience by supporting the nonprofit sector while they're college students.
That's right. What are your plans for the future as you look beyond this semester and the next semester, Deborah, at the Center for Community Engagement at the university? What do you see? How do you see it evolving in the future? If you put on your crystal ball.
I think that we really, we try to be really responsive to the community itself. And so a lot of times the ideas that we have for the changes that we've made in our programs come from the feedback that we get from the participants in our program. We try to pay attention to different types of community needs. Our campus right now, we are working on a civic action plan. Where it's part of a national movement through Campus Compact, and we're going to be looking to get a lot more input from our community in terms of what kinds of activities that we can do that where we can connect not only our students but our faculty and our staff and the university as an institution to help support endeavors that are really addressing pressing needs within our community. We've built this professional development program for nonprofits, but that's clearly only a small piece of what we do in terms of community engagement and also our continuing education. We try to be very responsive to the workforce needs and to develop programs that are going to be really relevant for the workforce, the professionals in our workforce.
Do you expect that the demand is going to continue to be there for these certificate courses? My sense is that there's enough turnover and formation of new agencies and new board members so that there will always be a significant demand for continuing these courses at least every other year, if not more frequently.
Right. I think you're right. I think that we do have to be nimble enough to make changes and to build on our programs and offer some different programs over time. But so far, so good. We actually have a new partnership with the Nonprofit Center of Milwaukee, where we're actually offering the fund development certificate through the Nonprofit Center at the same time as we're offering it down at UW-Parkside. So we have a big market in the Milwaukee area also. And again, you're right, there's a lot of change, there's a lot of turnover. There's people like Jason who are who start out in staff level positions and then are given the opportunity to build their leadership skills, and they want to take these kinds of opportunities to learn what they need to know to be effective as an executive director. So yeah, I think there will always be some turnover, change, need for this type of training.
And if I can really quick say, and then Len, you've mentioned it several times, the board of directors side of things, and I think as a listener, somebody out there may be on a board and be starting to think about this, and the turnover on boards is probably one of the most frequent things.
Yes.
For nonprofits. So I can't say enough how valuable I saw this for board members. I'm still trying to get some board members to sign up. A lot of them are very busy, and I get that. But for board members especially, getting a better understanding, because a lot of them are coming from the for-profit sector, having them really go through this and get a firm understanding of what nonprofit is from this point of view, from both the leadership and from the fund development side, is a huge opportunity, and I encourage everybody to take that.
You have some board member courses, special evenings for board members coming up most years, don't you? Do some special sessions for board members now and again?
Yeah, we haven't done as much of that in recent years because, just as Jason said, people are busy. We do our annual nonprofit leadership conference, and we really try to encourage board members to attend that event, and that takes place in the evenings. We're looking to expand some of our nonprofit governance training as part of the fund development certificate. As part of the professional executive professional certificate, nonprofit management certificate. Mm-hmm. It's a funny thing with board members. They already are overtaxed in general because they're generally employed and they have families and they're serving on the boards and they've got meetings. And so we find it's difficult. But we can offer customized kinds of training for nonprofits. And so if a nonprofit was interested in having a presenter come directly to their organization and go to a board meeting and address a specific topic with their board, those kinds of things, I feel like that might work more successfully for us and probably for them.
And the leadership conference is a great opportunity for meeting other board members and for us getting a chance to hear some really interesting sessions presented by professionals, everything from not-for-profit accounting details to the status of the not-for-profit sector nationally. We've had some great, great national speakers in the past, Deborah.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, this year we're partnering with the Nonprofit Center of Milwaukee on the conference as well. The conference is going to be on October 13th in Milwaukee. And then next year, we're going to be doing the conference at Parkside.
That's terrific. If we were to summarize, I'd say that the most important thing that we've learned from you both this morning is that utilizing the community engagement not-for-profit program's resources can really vault a not-for-profit organization over the fence and get them to where they need to be. If people want information, Deborah, tell us the places to call or where to go on the web and what to search for on the UW Parkside website, okay?
Sure. If you go to the UW Parkside website, and basically it's www.uwp.edu, if you put /CE, that's for continuing education, we would have all the listings of all the professional development opportunities that we have in continuing education, including the fund development certificate, which is now open for registration, and then probably by November, where the professional certificate of nonprofit will be open as well.
Can you give me that URL again, please?
Well, it's www.uwp.edu/CE. Continuing it, or if you could just search for continuing education UW Parkside and you would find it.
Because it's a real good search box there at the top of the screen for Parkside's website. Jason, in closing, what would you say is the most important thing you've learned in this program from your participation with Deborah's operation?
Other than I'm not alone. yeah, you know, I think that it was just the vast amount of resources that are available. Especially for a young or a first-time director. That was my perspective, but there were people that have been directors or engaged in leadership of a nonprofit that were in this as well, and they were still absorbing a lot of new information. So I think the amount of information that's available through this program and the way that it's presented in the progressive manner that it's presented really was the greatest value to me. I got way more out of it than I thought going in. And like I said, for the financial side of it, I was really nervous, and I came out of it feeling really confident and really comfortable, and I've been able to apply a ton of it to the work that I've done the last couple of years in my leadership role.
I gather that you came out of it with a lot of resources that you could continue to depend on.
I absolutely did, yeah. You know, all the way from meeting the other participants in the program to being able to connect with the presenters and the leaders of the program as well. And then UW Parkside itself as a resource and being able to build that relationship has been beneficial. So it's really coming at you from all sides, and it really pays off.
Deborah, what's the greatest joy that you've received in doing this work here in Kenosha Racine Walworth over the last over a decade now?
You know, I think that it's when somebody comes back who's taken a course or has been involved with one of our community-based learning classes, and they tell me about how it has made a difference. We had someone from the fund development certificate last year tell us that her organization received a grant of over $300,000 that they never would have even thought to apply for had they not been involved in that certificate. And that's made a huge difference for the organization. So, you know, it's interesting because sometimes I won't hear from somebody for many years, and then somebody will come back and you know, say, hey, I was promoted at, you know, after I did the classes and I moved up in my career. So it's exciting when I hear of those kinds of successes.
I wish you could all see the smile on Deborah Karp's face as she says that. Well, that's really wonderful to hear. My guests this morning on Community Matters have been Deborah Karp, the Director of Community Engagement at University of Wisconsin-Parkside, and Jason Meekman, the Executive Director of Focus on Community, Racine's Substance Abuse Prevention Agency. This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, urging you to get involved, get informed, find out what your passion is that you can execute through being a volunteer at one of the terrific not-for-profit organizations in Walworth, Racine, Kenosha, Lake County, if you're over the border in Illinois. Get out there and roll up your sleeves and join us. Good day.
You've been listening to Community Matters, a program that airs every Saturday morning at 11:15 on WGTD. For an online recording of today's show, log on to WGTD's website at WGTD.org, click Talk, and go to Community Matters. Your gateway to public radio is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. WGTD's Morning Show.